Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Fully Expressed podcast. Today, we have such an incredible guest, a friend of ours we're so excited about. Her name is Jenna Lee Hoffman. She wrote an amazing book called Becoming Sunshine. She is also a yoga teacher, trainer, and founder of State of Sun Yoga. And yeah, is the author of this amazing book that we're going to talk about, among other things. So maybe we talk a little bit and start the episode with how we know you and how we met you.
Yeah, through friends. Yeah, so it was so fun because we were just like literally at one of our friends' birthday parties, Josh Church's, which you might eventually get to see on the podcast as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And at the we caught you at the very end of the party. I just remember like connecting with you, and then we dropped in. I was like, wait, she seems so great. And then when I got to learn a little bit about more about what you're doing with your book, as well as just the community that you're building here in San Diego specifically, I was like, it was just so fun. And I thought you were such a light. So I was like, we got to connect with her some more. She's literally sunshine, and you bring like really good energy. So
thank you. Yeah, you're just like this ray of light walking through the party. I'm like, who is she? And you had met my husband.
Yeah.
Because he's come, you teach the yoga at Josh. He does a
Sunrise Social Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where people get together and they do yoga and cold plunging and breath work and all different types of things and networking. And Austin just spoke so highly of you before he even knew who you were. He was like, the woman who taught the yoga was just had the best energy and so incredible. So yeah, I was like, that's her.
You.
I know it. I know that's her. So we're so excited to have you here. And then finding out about this book you wrote is just so in alignment of like what we talk about and how to become your fullest expression. And
yeah,
the sun plays a very large part 100%. Of that in our energy.
Yeah, I think. What's fun about that is like your book is literally called Becoming Sunshine. And in a lot of ways, I think we're all craving to feel like sunshine, to feel that happiness, to feel that light and that energy. But you literally dive deep into the details of what it literally means to become sunshine and the importance of the sun. Before we get into it, I want to know a little bit more about you and your story and how you found the importance of sun.
Yeah, definitely. So it's been a long journey. I feel like becoming sunshine is a constant journey. I even had to kind of pack up my book and say, okay, I can't write anymore. I can't do any more research, any of that. But it actually started when I moved to DC. So I took a big job for a technology company, was working with the federal government. So a lot of time inside.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't used to. I was an endurance athlete. I was training probably 6 to 7 hours every single day. Training in modern pentathlon before in college.
Whoa.
So that was kind of my, I have a very eclectic background. You'll soon learn to hear, but now I've realized it's all played a crucial point in writing this book and just understanding myself and connecting with others. So when I moved to DC, I was working there day in, day out, very stressful a job, but you know, anything worth it takes hard work. So that was my mindset. But after about 3.5 years of working under fluorescent lights and not having that consistent routine and not seeing the sun and missing every single sunrise and sunset, I think it just started to weigh on me. And I didn't know it at the time, but when COVID hit, I ended up moving back to Florida to support my family and my grandparents. And that was wonderful. I got to be with my family all the time, but over time, I realized how much I had missed the sun. And even though it was COVID time, I'd pop out to get a little bit and then come back in to continue work. And then when I realized like I couldn't go back to DC, no way I wanted to move back there and continue what I was doing, I ended up moving to San Diego. And I didn't really know much about it, but my dad told me, generally, you have to visit. It's so similar to Durban, South Africa, which is where I was born, where my parents were born and raised. So I said, okay, you know, I'm going to give it a go. It's much closer than moving back. So when I came here, I just kind of realized what life was like and being in an environment that helped you to thrive and not just having kind of that consistent day in, day out. So that's kind of when the idea came to me, when I realized how I was feeling. And I asked myself, you know, why was this happening? Why was I feeling so great, so much energy, so healthy.
And we're so lucky. We talk about this a lot. It's like we live in an echo chamber in San Diego a little bit because there's such an outside culture and it's sunny most of the year. And there's a huge health and wellness culture here. So speak a little bit to like some of the benefits that you saw, like one, what it was like, maybe reflecting what you realized in the corporate environment that really impacted your health and then coming here, like what that brought to you.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the biggest thing when I was working corporate, I had no flexibility. I couldn't listen to my body when it needed time to rest. I couldn't go out in the sunshine because I had an obligation to my client or important meetings that were more, you know, top security level clearance had to be inside and not outside walking in the park.
Yeah.
So I realized that was a big thing, flexibility. And then also just like being in tune with the rhythms of nature. I feel like San Diego allows you to do that and see that, and having so much sunshine constantly, you can't not be smiling. And so I just had all this energy all the time, and making healthy decisions for eating was amazing, and having energy to run every single day. Like I kind of got back into that endurance athlete mindset that I had lost, because I was inspired to, you know, run around the city, and it was gloomy and it was windy. And I remember I was doing one early morning run and I got hit by a gust of wind between buildings. And I was like flying backwards. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're like, this is horrific.
I've been stuck in one of those before. Yeah. It's not.
She travels to DC a lot.
I do go to DC a lot. And I think what I think DC is a great representation of is the fast pacedness. It's the go, go, go energy that maybe you aren't someone that's stuck inside all the time, but you're not also giving yourself permission to get as much sunlight as you can. Like, you know, I know there's like been moments in my life being younger, I would sleep until 12, especially like high school, Karenna. I mean, I would stay up till super late, stay up until 12. I could spend all day inside. And I never really felt that connection. I mean, I did because I played soccer and different sports, but even just the common person can find themselves inside a lot.
Definitely.
But either just like watching TV or working on a computer or screen. So maybe you're not in a corporate environment.
Yeah.
I also think about this with like conferences. Like,
yeah,
when I go to like really large conferences, whether that is for business or for corporate or even for entrepreneurship, like, you know, there's these conferences rooms and you're in there for 8 hours. And I'm like,
Oh my gosh,
it's cold.
The AC,
like, and under the person's like,
you can't even focus after
a
while. No, you can't.
You're just like zoned out. Like, are we done yet?
Yeah. And it's so normal. Like, it's just like a part of our being. And I remember like now I like sprinkle in sun, you know, like hour break, I'm going straight outside, you know, whatever that looks like, just so I can get sunlight. So I'd love to know a little bit, you know, I want to go two ways. One, let's talk about like the importance of the sun and why is it so important for our human body and our biology to be in the sun and get sunlight. And, you know, there's different parts of the sun. There's sunrise, sunset, and midday. So maybe we can handle those.
Yes. So I want to see where I want to start. So let's start from the very beginning. So as human beings, we evolved with the sun. So in order to make sense of time and space and when a new day started, the sun was our cue when to rise and when to fall. So that's why our biological functions are so fine-tuned with the sun, because that's how we made time of space. That's how we gave meaning. That's also a sense of like tradition and worshiping the sun, because as early humans, we were so much more attached to nature. We felt that energy and that warmth when we rose with the sun. Ah, it like they thought it was a god, you know, our early humans. So like worshiping and really putting value on the sun, we have lost that in today's society. So that is the most important thing. We are biologically fine-tuned, and we place such an intense value on the sun that we, again, have lost today.
Yeah.
So with light and kind of harnessing the power of the sun in today's world, if we are inside a lot of the day, my best recommendation is to try and get that 30 minutes after sunrise and 30 minutes before sunset. Mm-hmm. So that is the most important type of light that is important to get into your eyes. So no sunglasses, nothing like that, and to feel on your skin. It's actually what the red light therapy mimics. So that's the most important, because it fine-tunes your circadian rhythm. It gives that little reset to say, hey, it's a new day, start to wind down, and everything in the body starts to kind of create that calmness, that peace. So if we kind of rush past that certain times of the day and, you know, we're on our phones and that blue light is our wake-up, our caffeine, then, you know, we're kind of switching everything. It delays that melatonin production, everything. So that's my best advice for the type of light.
And do you recommend red light for people or clients of yours that can't maybe access the morning or evening? Because I know Corinna uses that sometimes.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. When I go to DC or even just traveling, I love my red light. I love my red light so much. But I think especially in like not even just like winter, you know, some people even really right are now, stuck right now in rainy seasons. You know, it's snowing. I know you can still get sunlight when it's snowing. So you can talk about that.
Yeah.
But what are some recommendations for people that don't have access to sun?
Yeah, I think red light is a great opportunity just to kind of get that sunlight in the morning and then in the evening, because, you know, nothing is or something's better than nothing. And then a lot of people, when it's a cloudy day, for example, you know, we have June gloom and May gray here in San Diego, it's still important to get outside during that time. And the best thing that I can say is, for example, when you're inside, you have that fluorescent light we talked about. And you know why it's like kind of draining? Is because it's a shorter amount of lux. So light is kind of measured on lux. So the strength and the quality of light. So that fluorescent light is only giving you 100 lux.
Is that like wavelength or is that different?
Yes, it's a little bit of wavelength, but it's kind of quality of light.
Oh, so I see. Okay.
Like sunlight, if you're outside for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, the human body needs about 200,000 of lux. And so even when you're outside in a cloudy day, that equals about still 50,000. You're still getting that light. You're still getting the benefits. But, you know, our fake light, you know, you can't, something that's in nature, we try as much as we can as human beings, but you can't recreate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why you feel that kind of like lethargy in conferences and inside working in the office. Like there's no quality of that light. So there's all different spectrums of light and there's all different qualities. And you'll see that throughout different, you know, environments that you're in. But even though it's not that bright sunshine that you can immediately visibly see and feel stronger, it's still helping your biological functions even on a cloudy day.
I would love your opinion on like, why do we still crave lights like this? So like, you know, some people are addicted to their phones. They look at their blue light or they love the screens or they love video games. Like, what is that kind of light doing to our human biology and why are we choosing that over the sun?
Well, I think there's a different component at play here. So I think it's more that dopamine addiction, like those video games, like getting to the next level, like it's giving you something.
Yeah,
phones, you know, on social media.
Yeah,
it's like that dopamine addiction. So I think there's something else at play there.
And how does it deplete you? And it doesn't have enough flux, but how else does it impact your body?
So with the natural sunlight, what's happening when the rays hit your skin, it's actually producing vitamin D. And this is different than vitamin D that you get from food. So this helps to like recharge your circadian rhythm. It helps to indicate to your gut that, hey, like we're creating green and leptin. That also happens when you don't get enough sleep. Those hormones are not created in your stomach. So when people are tired or they haven't got enough sleep or enough sun, they don't have that indication of, hey, I'm satisfied, or hey, I'm hungry. Those have not even been created when you don't have enough sleep. So people, they're looking for energy because they haven't got sunlight, they haven't got, you know, enough sleep. So then they turn to food. And normally when you don't have those two created in your gut, then you're going to turn for the quick energy. So what is that?
Carbohydrates.
Sugar and carbs. Sugar,
yeah.
Yeah. So then you're looking for all these other sources and you're never getting satisfied because you don't have the hormones to be created.
To be satisfied.
Yeah.
And also it's not what your body actually wants.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. So that's one of my biggest advices in the book too, when we're talking about like nutrition and sleep. Even if you don't get enough sleep, don't go for the carbs and sugar. Like it's your body trying to get that quick fix. And I feel like humans these days, we always want that immediate gratification. That
what
quick
do you send
fix.
Them to instead? More like protein and fruits and vegetables?
Something that's, first of all, anti-inflammatory because you haven't got enough sleep or enough sun. So like, especially my body, I know I'm genetically disposed to have a little bit more inflammation in my body. So anything that's inflammation reduction. So healthy spices, you know, turmeric, foods that are like light leafy greens and something that is like more soothing for the gut. So, you know, nothing too like acidic.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to ask another question as to like when you were learning about the sun and you're researching so much about the sun, what was like an interesting fact that you were like, aha moment? You're like, oh, that makes sense. Or something that like you didn't think would make sense.
Oh, well, there's so many, but I think I'm going to actually pull it up in my book because there's one section when I talk about the history of the sun, and it's what the god Apollo is indicative of the sun. And he has a couple different meanings. And the way that the Egyptians gave meaning to Apollo, it was very interesting because the sun meant two things for them. And in today's world, let me see where it is. Yes. Apollo was known as the god of medicine and healing as the god of sun and light. His unique combination of qualities demonstrates our ancestors' more intuitive intelligence about more than our modern intelligence. So he was looked at as not only the god of medicine and healing, but also the god as sun and light.
Oh, wow.
So this is important because when we had the big industrial revolution, we saw so many children that, you know, were struggling with different formations in their spine. So they had soft bones. It was called rickets. And the reason being so was because everyone was moving from outside of the countryside into the cities, smog, no light, all of that. And so a lot of doctors prescribed that children got sun baths on top of the roof. So they were moving all the hospital beds. And this was found by one doctor actually in the countryside because he said, hey, all these children who are working on the farms, they're perfect. They have strong bones, but all these children in the city, you know, their spines are deformed. They don't have any energy. And so he had this radical idea of putting them on top of the roof to get sun.
That chills. Yeah, that is incredible. Yeah. That's wow. That's
and they amazing. Were cured. So guess what? Our ancestors knew this. The god of healing and medicine. The sunlight is medicine. And a lot of times we forget the simplest things that are so accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
That I think is the beauty of the sun is that everyone has access to it. You know, it's no one's excluded.
You don't have to pay for it.
You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to be in this certain area. You know, obviously some places have more sunlight than others, but everyone has access.
And I know you also coach people in like nutrition and food. So how does that play a role? Because I know like we could talk about plants and photosynthesis and like the energy they carry. Like how do you guide people who maybe don't know anything in that arena?
Yeah.
Around food and sun and that, like what's the connection there?
Yeah. So my biggest advice is trying to cut out as much processed food as possible, or hopefully nothing at all.
Yeah.
And then sourcing food that is as locally grown as possible. So you don't have those preservatives, there's no transportation, and you're also eating seasonally. Because the biggest thing too, like we'll experience a little bit of seasonal depression as it gets, you know, more winter and fall. So syncing up more with the seasons allows your body to also ease into that. So the foods that are, you know, in season have the most energy because they're supposed to be grown at that time. So then you can pull different sources of energy from the food in that way. And, you know, maybe the sun isn't as strong, so you're not getting as much energy from there. So finding that seasonal, you know, direction with food is great. But the biggest thing with my clients is everyone is so different. And what I talk about in my book is I'm not saying you need to be keto or you need to follow the Mediterranean diet or, you know, being vegetarian is the best or being a carnivore is the best. I don't say any of that. I just explain the benefits of each and then experiment with them and see what best feels, what feels best for your body. So that's what I've experienced. You know, I've gone and said, okay, what does it feel like to eat, you know, mostly greens, or what does it feel like to eat, you know, completely, you know, food from this area or Mediterranean? I've tried it all. And then kind of self-diagnosing in a little bit and say, how do I feel? So generating that deeper level of self-awareness, I help to coach my clients on. And then, you know, obviously cutting out a lot of like the sugar and processed foods, but everyone's so different and everyone's body is going to respond differently based on your genetics, based on, you know, what you're doing in life. So if you are more of an athlete or so, it changes from person to person.
Does it also change depending on where you live? Because I'm wondering, like, someone that lives in New York that doesn't get as much sunshine compared to here in San Diego, we get a lot of sun. Are there different foods that can support them because they're receiving less energy from the sun?
Yeah. So like I said, you know, the vitamin D is different from the food versus the sun, but it is great to supplement with, you know, foods that are higher in vitamin D, a little bit more protein, those omega-3. So supporting the brain too, getting those key foods like blueberries, salmon, and key nuts. You know, there's a reason a walnut looks like a brain.
Yes.
Because it's supportive of the brain.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to like tune into those specific foods.
So good.
And in your book too, I think you and I may get the percentage wrong, but it's like 60% of Americans are deficient in vitamin D.
Uh-huh.
Is it 60 or 70?
There, oof. It was a high amount. I remember.
I think it's actually 80%. I need to, check.
I remember
since I wrote, because it changes, you know, every day.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, majority of human beings, of Americans. And I actually experienced that in the city. I became vitamin D deficient.
Yeah, I've tested, both of us have tested low for vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking vitamin D right now. And I'm in the sun all the time. But something that Nick has taught me, and maybe you can confirm this, because I have more melanin in my skin, it's harder for me to actually absorb vitamin D. So because I'm darker, which everyone always thinks that because I'm darker and I get more tan, like, you have so much vitamin D, what are you talking about? It actually gets in the way of me actually absorbing the vitamin D. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So you actually need longer time in the sun.
I was just going to ask, like, what's the sun prescription?
Yeah, me too.
I could do that for
hours. If I could work outside all day, like, as my job, I would.
Yeah. I think Karina would too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just try to do that now. I take my computer and I'm like, I got to work, but, like, let me counteract whatever I'm doing here.
Yeah.
At the same time, I can't wait to invent, like, a really cool, like, cover of the sun that
with a hole
that comes, like, right through
our, yes, like over the computer screen,
and you're also getting it on
but
you.
I'm also getting it, my arms are still getting it, and
your,
I'm like,
arms are outside,
like, yes, yeah,
like, I know, I'm still doing it for this. I'm like, every part of me needs to get sun.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
but yeah, to your point, you know, yeah, since I'm darker, right, because I think people that are lighter in skin tone, they actually absorb vitamin D much faster.
Yeah, so for example, someone who has less melanin in their skin,
mm-hmm.
I speak about this as well, only about, you know, 30 minutes in the sun, you'll get what you need for vitamin T, versus you may need up to 2 to 3 hours.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, prescribed.
Like, yeah.
It's no.
Which is great to, because, like, so I'll go to the beach and I'll be like, I could lay at the beach for like 4 or 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
I still haven't received what I need.
Mm-hmm.
I can sit there for hours. Nick's like, I'm 2 hours and out. And he's a little bit lighter than me. He definitely gets, he's probably a little bit more like you, I would say. But for me, I'm like, no, babe, can we please stay like 2 more hours? I need more, especially when I'm like rushing or I haven't grounded or I haven't received a lot of sunlight. I like just go and like sit like a potato and I'm just like, I'm gonna recharge.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
And you're right. So you have that intuitive intelligence, you know. So I think when we're settled and we're slowed down, we know the answers to things. We know what we need. We just have to stop and take a moment to actually listen to our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's such a big theme in our podcast guests. We're all kind of coming back. I love hearing it in so many different ways from so many different people and perspectives. But yeah, it is like about tapping. We're learning to come back into ourselves.
Yeah.
Even when you're talking about food and how, okay, maybe for this person, they need more animal protein and this person needs more vegetables or whatever the balance is. But I love that, like, the consensus is less sugar, less processed to no processed food.
And more sun.
And more sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more sun.
And more sun.
Yeah. Even, like, a good little break in between, like, throughout the workday, you know, like, sprinkling
in. Definitely.
Like, I've been working for 2 hours. Okay, I'm going to go step outside. And you can immediately feel it. Like,
I've
been taking breaks during our recording. I'm like, Sam, you want to go outside and get some sun?
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, this is going to keep me going.
Yeah,
it's energizing. It's supporting me while we're here recording. And I'm so grateful for the space. It's also not outside.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little more to that too, of the sun actual being, because there's almost like, there's also like the spirit, if we really go into like the yogic spiritual perspective, is that the sun is giving light codes and giving, you know, like actual downloads to us in energetic forms because we're energetic beings. But I'm curious your perspective on just with your yoga background and the history and research you did on this, like what about that kind of topic of like the sun actually, you know, not just giving us like physical benefits, but maybe spiritual or mental benefits as well.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing, so the solar plexus is here, you know, in the gut. And I think the biggest thing, I'll probably go more science route.
Great. I love it.
I'm not as tapped into like all the downloads. Obviously, I feel like there are a few things that or specific things that the sun does give you, like in terms of knowing, okay, I need to tap more into like, you know, my body or my mind, or I need to move more, or I need more time to rest. Like, I feel like it does give you those cues and when you need more energy. So that's how I am tapped into the sun. But the solar plexus, I talk about this a lot in yoga, and I feel like a lot of my flows are around the core. So creating a strong core, but also knowing that, like, this is where a lot of, like, your intuition sits. Like, I know third eye is intuition grounding, but for your solar plexus, we have that brain-gut connection. So if we're unsettled at all in our core and something doesn't feel right, whether it's in a relationship or a situation or, you know, a business partnership, we'll kind of feel it a little bit. So that's when we may feel like digestive issues or an upset stomach or something that feels like a little bit of like a knot in the tummy, it's because that we're sending signals. So we have that brain-gut access constantly. And I feel like that is my sun, my core. So when I don't feel lightness in my belly, when it feels heavy, or, you know, I mean, we can go anywhere to like digestive issues.
constipated. We talk about all of it. So yeah, go there.
Talk about it all. Yeah. Like if you're feeling like, you know, constipated or something feels like stuck energy, pretty much, that is something is wrong, like in your life. Something's a little unbalanced. And if the mind can't figure it out logically, it's generally the gut that is telling you. So I feel like that's like my little internal guiding light when I always tap back into my gut.
Is there anything else before I like turn and ask you like one of our last questions?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to share for the listeners that they would really sink in and really learn about the sun? Anything else that you find like would be really important for them to hear?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is when we do lose connection with the sun, we lose connection with the self. So I feel like the sun creates that awareness in us. It allows us to come back to our early intuitive intelligence that we had as early humans and allows us to understand like what actually aligns to make us feel our most authentic self. So it's there to guide us literally all the time above us. So I feel like if you don't feel connected, whether that's in your relationships or you don't feel connected in your community or your life just feels a little bit unstable, know that every day the sun will be there. It is always there to support you and to give you that energy. It always, always is giving. It's truly incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
Us as humans, we get depleted from energy. We can't keep giving. But the sun is always there. And I feel like it reminds me that maybe even if today was a hard day, you go watch the sunrise, you go watch the sunset.
Always feel better. You do.
You always feel better. And it's a start of like when you go to the sunset, it's my time to say, hey, what am I grateful for today? What do I want to let go of? What energy is not serving me? Let that go. Let the sun take it. And then the next morning, you're rising with new energy and new beginning. So it's almost that, you know, cue the sunrise. Like it's the orchestrator of our life, our sense of time. So tapping back into that to tap back to yourself.
I mean, those sound like codes to me. I don't know.
So maybe those
are the codes. You're pretty dropped it.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are the codes.
Maybe I just look at it in different ways. But yeah.
But yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, that's what I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
I love that.
So good. Well, we do have a final question to make this more about you.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
We always ask every guest at the end of the episode, where in your life do you feel like you could show up more in your fullest expression? Or what is like the next era that you want to be fully expressed in?
Oh,
yeah.
Where in your life? There's no right or wrong.
Can you be more fully expressed?
Yes.
More expressed.
Are you craving to be more of you?
I feel like that's been my journey here with writing this book and the last few years of my life is trying any and every little thing that either sparks my curiosity or my interest. So I think just continually tapping into that, whether it's something small or seems like minute and you're like, oh, how is this even going to impact my life? I feel like trying every little tiny passion, curiosity, you never know what it's going to do, how it's going to change the projection of your life. So, you know, being unapologetically you, like even if it doesn't make sense to anyone else, I think for me, it's like continuing to forge that path. And knowing that I have like the right intuition and I'm following my gut, even if my loved ones, you know, tell me otherwise.
That is powered by the sun.
Yeah, yes,
that
is powered exactly.
By the sun. Exactly.
Get, you know, rub the belly for good luck with the Buddha belly.
The Buddha belly.
So I think that's my biggest thing is I feel like it's all coming together and I have to keep that momentum and keep pulling in all my, you know, very eclectic mix and experiences that I've had in my life, that there's a purpose to it all.
It's so beautiful because you're saying like literally just leaning into like whatever it calls you and seeing what gifts are created from that or like what opportunities come on the other side of
and
it.
And
what it looks like for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And what you said at the beginning that like you have this very eclectic background, but it's all brought you to this moment. I feel like that's so relatable. Like it's so easy to think like, why did I do that? Like, why did I have that job or why did, and it all just built information and awareness bringing you to like that, whatever that next step is.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I know why I was attracted to doing modern pentathlon and then wanted to, you know, go farming for 3 months and be dropped into the soil.
That
and
would
then
be so fun, farming. That's on my bucket list to learn.
Me too. I just want to be dropped on an island, like a place, and be like, teach me everything. What do I need to know?
I'm curious.
What is pentathlon?
Pentathlon. Yes. Yeah, so I spent a lot of my life doing this. It's running, swimming, fencing, shooting, and show jumping.
Like all at like at a event
in one day,
like a triathlon, but like all five of those.
Yeah, so triathlon, obviously there is a transition time. So I grew up doing triathlon since I was 12.
Wow,
I've come back to that now.
In South Africa, or were you here?
No, in the U.S.
You in the U.S.? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know if that was a thing there too. Maybe.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. I got into it because of my dad. So
wow,
big time athlete.
Running, swimming,
fencing, shooting,
and horse riding.
Yeah, show jumping.
What a combination.
Yeah, it's called the ultimate athlete, or the complete athlete.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
I feel like I need to see a video of this.
It's epic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you miss it at all?
I do.
You do? Yeah. What parts of it do you miss?
So my favorite event was called the combined. So it's the running and the shooting. So it's four laps of 800 meters, and in between each lap.
You shoot.
So you try and get five shots as quick as possible, hitting the target. Like
on the target.
Yep. Wow. And then you can start your next lap. So
are you shooting? Like a shotgun?
I had a Pardini APM pistol. That probably means pistol. Nonsense to you.
But what a?
Yeah. It was like a bullet gun converted to a laser for obviously safety and then accuracy.
Yes,
with
of course.
Sport.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So they that was my favorite.
In my head, I'm like, you're like a fan, and you're like, oh fuck.
I was thinking of like when they throw the birds up, and you're like,
exactly. The clay pigeons going everywhere. Yeah, that would be next level. The olden days, they
did that. That's what they did. Yeah, you're right. I'm sure.
Yeah, they're like, let's make this
like
safer.
Laser. Yes, that's yeah. Accurate.
That's the way. Yeah, so that was by far my favorite, because it was the last event too. So I was like, okay,
oh, you had to do it last.
Yeah.
Wow.
And running is my favorite.
And horse jumping. So you're jumping like over the...
Yeah, show jumping. So like over the different levels of the post.
Gosh, how cool. What is first? Swimming?
Fencing.
Oh, fencing.
Yeah. Fencing, then swimming. You don't have transition time triathlon.
See. Okay,
yeah, it's kind of like, okay,
a full
contained.
Day event. Yeah.
Yeah. So like your time, it gets a little complicated, but like your time is added to your number of points, and that stacks you in terms of like positioning to
start each
event.
And how many years did you do these events?
Gosh, when did I start? So triathlon started when I was 12.
You started doing triathlons when you were 12?
Yeah, so I was young. Like and that was just fun.
No,
like,
I love
you know,
it.
Sprint triathlons in Florida. It's great. My dad would just sign me up and be like, oh, you have a race this weekend. It was like Thursday. I'm like, okay, like, guess I'm going.
I feel like when you're 12, though, you could just go run.
Yeah, you don't need to train. Yeah. So I started that and then got into the sport of fencing. I used to be a dancer, and then my brother got into fencing. And I was like, you know, this seems pretty cool. And
it's like, kind of like dancing.
It is.
Yeah, it is
like
dance.
An art.
It's a new class. Yeah.
It's called physical chess because it's always up here.
Yeah.
It is such a mind game, and you have to be so strategic with every single move. So definitely, you know, ups and downs in terms of emotions, especially being younger as a teenager. But yeah, and then I met my coach through a fencing competition, and he was an Egyptian pentathlete.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked what that was because you said it casually, and in my head I thought triathlon. But I'm like, no, it must be something different.
Yeah.
That's
something
very different. It's an amazing sport.
Mother love and it's
beautiful. I didn't even know that existed, which is really
cool. Yeah. It is. It's very beautiful.
And do you train like that still? Do you still?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Just because it is quite a lot to do. It's like a full-time job. Yeah. But okay, I used to up until like, you know, the third year in college. Then I decided to pursue my master's and instead of continue to train as intensely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still do triathlons. So I still do Ironman triathlons and then some yoga and Pilates and things like that on the side. But
well, you look amazing, so makes sense.
And also, like, I can tell why you prioritize energy, right?
Yeah,
like, it's really feeling good, right? Like, because as that athlete, like, you really do take care of your body. You really care about, like, what the foods that I'm eating, what makes me feel really good, what's also going to make me feel and show up at my best.
Yeah.
So I feel like all of that has just brought you where you are today.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
And I feel like I also owe that to my parents. You know, they instilled a very strong brain and body awareness from a young age.
That's amazing.
You know, definitely unbeknownst at the time, but now I'm like, wow, I did have a great level of awareness as a young child.
Yeah, I think it gives you a capacity to like do hard things too.
Yeah,
because those are all such challenging. I think when you can push the physical body past your limits, then you can push anything. Like you can take on any challenge.
Yeah,
it's a good metaphor for life.
yeah. No, 100%. And even today when we're cold plunging, you know, and everyone's like, this is difficult. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, my dad made me do this when I was, you know, 10 and 11. He'd say, Jenny, let's go jump on the lawn chairs that are filled with snow in Colorado and let's see who can last the longest. So I was there in my bikini land in the snow. And I'm like, oh, I can do it. And then he's like, all right, now run through the snow and like jump in the hot tub. And I was like, I guess I was doing contrast therapy back in the day. Just that's different amazing form.
Without you even thinking about it. That's incredible.
Yeah. That's beautiful. You should tell that story more often.
Yeah, you should. That's awesome. I just found that picture too. I think I had like, you know, those paste on tattoos on my belly and limited two bikini, you know, yeah, back totally in the day.
Limited two
braces, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely cute. Definitely.
You're just in the cold plunge for like 5 minutes. Everyone's like, I can't do it. You're just like, I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
This has been me. I've done this my whole life.
I was 12. Get it together.
I didn't even make the connection because that was the first thing I did when I moved to San Diego, first weekend.
Oh, with cold plunge?
Yeah. I went
with Josh or?
No, this was before Breathe Degree started with Tyler in his backyard.
Oh, I was so that too.
Yeah. And so I sat in and I was like, oh, this is great. And I was just chatting with, you know, the guy who made the tubs and he was all South African. I was like, this is wonderful. And then Tyler just went, he's like, you guys, it's been 8 minutes. Like, get out of the tub. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's amazing.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. I guess, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. So, thank you so much for what a pleasure
coming on the Fully Expressed podcast to speak all about sun and literally bring your sunshine into the room. I think it was such a pleasure getting to know you more also because I know we met in, like in a more social setting.
Yeah.
But now really to dive deeper into getting to know you has been so sweet and so amazing. And I'm so excited for what you're going to take with this book and also whatever your next ping is because I feel like you have so much to give.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. And share where people can find you and maybe where also they can find your book. Yes. So my book is on Amazon and then it's also on my website. So jennaleehoffman.com. But yeah, I definitely promote it through socials, through LinkedIn and all of that.
Do you want to hold it up to the camera right there?
Yeah.
Because you're on that one.
Of course. Yes. So here's Becoming Sunshine. And then I always like to give people a little surprise. So if you take off the jacket cover, I'm a sucker for a hardcover book.
Oh, me too.
Is the little surprise inside. So not just any old cloth cover. So I did both designs. So fun little surprise.
So pretty. That's so beautiful.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So good.
So
thank you so much.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you, ladies.
I love it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.